And we look out the window and we say, boy, you know, I just don't, I'm ready for spring. And I guess it takes days like that to make us appreciate days like this just a little bit more. And I think that's probably true of life in general, is there are days where some days you're the windshield, some days you're the bug. And, you know, and days like today, I think you're the windshield. So that's a good place to be. I'd like to start our class with a word of prayer in just a moment. Ask Bill, if he would, to lead us in that prayer. But a few folks that we need to be keeping in mind, to be remembering. I know we need to be continuing to remember Donna Sanders. As far as I know, I think she's improving. That was the last I had heard, was that there was some improvement, but I don't know that she is to the point where they're able to continue with the treatments, with the cancer treatments that she needs just yet. So I know that she would greatly appreciate our prayers, and also we need to be remembering Eddie as well. You know, it is for the person who is the caregiver, it can be just as difficult sometimes for them in going through that as it is, in some ways, as it is for the person who actually is dealing with those issues personally. So definitely need to be remembering Eddie. You need to remember Marty Matthews. It sounds like he is doing some better. He's at least able to, he's at the rehab facility now, and that's, I believe, is a step in the right direction for him. Who else do we need to be remembering in our prayers tonight? Yes, we do. We need to remember and be remembering Bill. We need, but more importantly, we need to remember Kay. I think that falls into that caregiver category again. I think he's in good hands. I don't know about you, but I think he's in excellent hands. And but most certainly, we do need to be praying for Bill. I know he would greatly appreciate us offering up prayers on his behalf. Anybody? Yeah, Shirlane. Okay. Okay. All right. For those of you who could not hear what Shirlane was saying, she said that that her father is not going to have open heart surgery. However, he is going to, they are going to need to do about a 4-hour procedure, something to do with his lungs, I guess when he gets the strength for them to be able to do that. So she would appreciate continuing to remember her father in our prayers as well. Anybody else? Would appreciate y'all remembering those of us who are going to be traveling this weekend to camp to know him. And we've got, I don't know, there's around 60 or 65 of us, I believe, that are planning on being there for that. And so we would appreciate your prayers for safe travel on that and safe time while we're there. We're not planning on getting too wild and crazy, but you know, sometimes things happen when you get out like that. So again, we'd appreciate your prayers for that. Anything else? Anybody else? All right, Bill, if you would, please.
Our Father, we're thankful for the time at the close of a beautiful day to be together and to take up your word and to think of what you teach us and what we do as we follow Christ. Father, we're thankful for a group of brothers and sisters and for the care they have for each other. We pray for your blessings to be on Brother and Sister Sanders right now. Please help Donna and her recovery and be with Eddie. We pray for Sister Horton's father. Pray that things will go as well as possible in his care. We pray for Marty Matthews as well. And we pray for others who are parts of our families, have special concerns, and for those who are still struggling with the grief of loss. We pray, Father, for those who are teaching the classes tonight. Bless God as he leads us in our thinking about your word. And be with those who are teaching in the other classrooms. Be with the ladies tomorrow in their fellowship. We pray especially for your blessings on the family camp group. We pray that it may be a time of fellowship and of spiritual growth and just of enjoyment of your creation. Father, we are deeply grateful to you for the blessings of life, and we're thankful that you always are God. We're thankful for what you've done to give us the privilege of being called your children. Help us to imitate you and to treasure our inheritance and to be servants in your household. We pray, Father, for our country at a time when everybody's mind is on choices to be made and on the situation we are in and our culture right now. We pray, Father, that you will intercede in the whole process and you'll raise up the people who would most make it possible for your children to live quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and gravity, so that other people may be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. We pray for the growth of your kingdom, for your name to be honored, for your will to be done, and that you may be merciful to us and cause us to be merciful to others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bill. I'm going to continue with the thoughts, with some of the thoughts that we started last week with regard to the subject of becoming a true disciple of Jesus. And if you remember, just a very quick review of some of the things that we said last week. We said that first of all, that a disciple, that the word disciple and the word discipline both come from the same root. And that really, the word disciple really means to learn and accept discipline. Now, and so that then a disciple of Jesus is one who learns and accepts discipline from him. We talked about the fact that spiritual discipline is required, that we have to be willing to accept that discipline, and that our life really is defined by the one whose discipline we accept. Now, a disciple of Jesus will identify himself, all that he believes, and all that he does with Jesus, with what Jesus did, and with what he said we are to do. And that's kind of where we left off last week. And where we got to then was then the idea that discipline exists to teach self-discipline. Now, one of the hardest things to do as a parent is to discipline your child. There are times when you understand maybe that there are some extenuating circumstances. Maybe it wasn't entirely all their fault, but nevertheless, you want them to understand that they should know better, that the way they behaved is not an appropriate way to behave. And sometimes, there is some truth to the this is going to hurt me more than it hurts you speech. But then, we need to remember that the purpose of discipline is not enforcing other people to do what we want them to do, but really the purpose of it is to train them to make their own decisions so that they will do as they should. That's really the purpose of it. That's what we're trying to teach our children, is it not? We're trying to teach them that when they get older, that they make the proper choices, that they make godly choices, that they follow after the right people. That's what we're wanting them to learn. And so, really, what we're saying then is that discipline exists to teach self-discipline. When we discipline our children, we are trying to help them to develop self-discipline. Because self-discipline is required in life. If we try to go through life without self-discipline, we're going to be a mess. A father's responsibility to train his children, it doesn't focus on his power to force his will on his children while they remain at home, but rather it really is on his ability to teach them how to make good decisions after they leave home. And in a lot of ways, the discipline of Christ, the discipline of our Heavenly Father, is really much the same way. Because one thing that we need to remember is that we are all free moral agents, okay? God gives us the ability to make the choices for ourselves. He does not put his finger on the back of our head and push us around and make every choice and every decision for us in life. But rather, he gives us the freedom to choose what our actions and our words and our thoughts are going to be. He doesn't force us to do that, but he does everything he can to persuade us to do so. He's not forcing us, but he's highly recommending it, shall we say. God shows us how we can benefit from making good choices, from the discipline that he offers. But he also shows us what the consequences are if we choose to ignore those benefits. We don't like to talk about, in our society today, we don't like to talk about consequences. Everybody wants to ignore the consequences. We want the freedom to do whatever we want to do, but we don't want to accept the consequences to go along with it. Unfortunately, sometimes when we make bad choices, there are unwanted consequences that go along with it. And sometimes we make choices, they may not even seem like bad choices, but there are consequences that go along with that. You know, for those of you who are baseball fans, the whole situation with Jose Fernandez, the pitcher for the Marlins, he made a choice to go out in a 32-foot boat at night on the ocean and driving that boat at 60 miles per hour. I promise you, when he went out there, he did not intend for that to be his last trip. But the consequences of his choices were exactly that. Now, God sent Jesus to both help us to learn spiritual discipline, not only through his instruction, but also through the example of Jesus himself and the self-discipline that he exhibited while he was here on this earth. First Peter chapter 2, verses 21 and 22. You can see it up there. Peter writes, he says, "For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps. He committed no sin, neither was deceit found in his mouth." Now, this passage really, it's referring not just to the life that Jesus lived, which Scripture tells us was a perfect life, was a sinless life. And nevertheless, Jesus, there were consequences of our sin that he wound up taking upon himself. You know, and think about the behavior of Christ when he was on the cross. You know, I think it would be, I've thought about this, and if I were the one that had been up there, I'm not sure that my attitude would have been quite as gracious as his was. I have to tell you, I would have been talking about, this is wrong. I have been wrong here. This is totally unjust. There's no reason I should be up here. It's not right. And yet, what did Jesus say? "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's the kind of self-discipline that is our goal in life, is that even when we're being wronged, that we can have that kind of attitude. You know, we have to be able to have self-discipline to do God's will even under the harshest conditions that you can think of. That's really what we're being called to. Now, that's not a real comfortable thing to think about, but there are Christians in other parts of the world who have to deal with much more serious threats to their faith than what we experience in the United States. And, you know, it's we are blessed, we are very fortunate to live in the country that we live in, where we don't have to worry about the fear of persecution. Will it always be that way? I don't know. It may not be that way in my children's lifetime. It may change. Don't know. But regardless of what the political situation in our country is, what the government situation is in our country, I hope and pray that my children will still remain faithful to Christ, regardless. Because those things don't matter in the big picture. What does matter is being faithful to Christ. And regardless of where we live in the world, being faithful to Christ, being a disciple of Jesus, is what we are called to be. Now, not only is a disciple of Jesus called as part of our discipleship, not only is it a call to salvation, but it is also a call to service. Now Jesus says here in Mark chapter 10, verse 45, very familiar passage, says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." Now, when we put Christ on in baptism, when we become a Christian, we can't become a Christian only for the benefits. Obviously, there are great benefits to being a Christian, to putting on Christ. Because not only are there benefits to being a Christian, there are also, and this is a terrible word in our society today, but there are also responsibilities. We, if we are not willing to follow Jesus to the cross, then it is unreasonable for us to expect to follow him to heaven. And really what we're talking about here is sacrifice. As a disciple of Jesus, we are called to sacrifice. We are called to be a sacrifice. And as disciples, we should expect and accept that sacrifice is part of life as we know it. You know, those sacrifices, you know, they can take on a lot of forms. But I think one of the kinds of sacrifices that a lot of people have the most difficulty in making can be that of a relationship. You know, sometimes a relationship that we have may be something that we need to give up in order to truly be a disciple of Jesus. There are people that we call friends that may actually be working against our desire to be a disciple. We are disciples for life, and we never ever stop learning self-discipline from Jesus, and we never ever graduate. You never finish the class. You know, if you think back to when I was in high school, couldn't wait to graduate from high school. When I got into college, I couldn't wait to finish college, because when I finished the coursework, I was done. As a disciple of Jesus, you never graduate. Sorry, hate to tell you this. And it, you know, so It's a lifetime teaching situation. And Jesus is the teacher, and we are the students. Now, if we're going to be a disciple, seems obvious, but a disciple of Jesus follows Jesus. Turn over in your Bibles to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 37. I think there was a couple of times this summer, during our summer series, where we spent time in John chapter 1. But I thought that this passage would fit very well with what we're talking about here tonight, too. In John chapter 1, verses 35 through 37, John writes, he says, "The next day again, John was standing with two of his disciples, and he looked at Jesus as he walked by and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God.' The two disciples heard him say this, and they followed Jesus." Now, this particular passage, it gives us an account of how, as far as I know, this quite likely is the record of the very first, and this is the first two disciples to follow Jesus. And these disciples, they were disciples of John the Baptist. And upon John the Baptist identifying Jesus as the Lamb of God, what did they do? They left John the Baptist and they immediately began following Jesus. Now, here in John chapter 1, it goes on to tell us that one of these disciples was Andrew, the brother of Simon Peter. And that Andrew, after this, after following Jesus himself, then he goes and finds Peter and tells him that he had found the Messiah, or that he had found the Christ. Now, there's no doubt that John the Baptist was a godly man, and that he had been sent by God to speak the message that he was speaking, that he was the forerunner, if you will, of Christ. Not a bad person to follow, wouldn't you say? And yet, here we see Andrew and another disciple, upon learning that Jesus is the Lamb of God, what did they do? They immediately abandoned John the Baptist and began following Jesus. They became disciples of Jesus. Now, why would they do that? Because Jesus was the Lamb of God. Yeah, Dennis?
I'll say the same thing, so we'll have to do that.
All right. They did that because they recognized that Jesus was the Messiah, that he and he alone was the Christ, not John the Baptist. And I think there's a very powerful lesson in that for us, in that In our world today, it's very popular in the religious world to follow after preachers. Okay, there are You can turn your TV on certain channels. I can't tell you which ones they are because I skip over them most of the time when I'm looking through the channels for something to watch. But there are channels full of people who have their ideas about Jesus that unfortunately in many cases are not scripturally sound. But yet there are a lot of people out there who follow after the teachings of a person. And they may be teaching Jesus, but yet they're missing the point. Because it's not about following the person. It's not about following what they're teaching. It's about following Jesus. And here's Andrew and this other disciple. Obviously, John the Baptist he was a scripturally sound preacher. But if you're going to choose, if you have to make a choice between following a scripturally sound preacher or following Jesus, which one ranks higher? Doesn't Jesus? Yes, he does. Yeah, Bill.
Really, they didn't believe John. They,
no.
They believed John. The highest honor to a scripturally sound preacher is for people to follow the Jesus he preaches and not him.
That's right.
That's what these two fellows, John said he's the Lamb of God. So they paid John the highest honor of believing what he taught them and acting on.
You stole my point. That's all right. But I don't know if you could hear what Bill said or not. But what he said was that they didn't actually abandon John. They simply followed what he said about Jesus, which was what he wanted them to do. That was the purpose of his message to begin with. Yes. Teaching the truth about Jesus is what made him a scripturally sound preacher. He pointed them toward Jesus, and they found Jesus. And that's the job of a preacher, is it not? It's to point people toward Jesus and help them to find the truth about him and for people to commit their lives to being disciples of Jesus from that point forward. And honestly, for every single one of us as Christians, that's also our mission, is it not? Now, but if we're going to follow, how do you follow somebody? I keep talking about kids, but you know, let's say you're at the fair, and you have small children with you, and you're walking down the midway, and your children, they're constantly wanting to run out ahead of you, you know, and they're, oh wow, look at this, oh wow, look at that kind of thing. What are you going to do? You say, back here. At least beside me, preferably behind me, right? Isn't that right? If we're going to follow Jesus, how do we follow Jesus? Where do we follow Jesus? Do we not follow him from behind him? If we try to get out in front of him, it's probably not going to work real well for us. Jesus has been there. He knows what it takes to live life the way God desires for us to live it. But for us to run ahead of him, in essence, is to say, it's all right, I got this. I can do this. And then when we fall, when we stumble, A lot of times we wind up blaming God for that, when in reality, it was us who got out in front of Jesus to begin with. And so, if we have to follow Jesus, we have to get behind Him. If we're going to follow Jesus, we have to see Him as He truly is, not as we might wish Him to be. And if we're going to see Him as He truly is, then we have to spend time in His Word. Brother Dennis is a godly man, and I look up to him in the faith. He can tell me something about Jesus. He can teach me something about Jesus, but I still have the responsibility to study that out from the Scriptures myself to make sure that what he's telling me about Jesus is true. And we talked about it last week. You know, that was the thing that the Bereans were commended for. And he would be disappointed, knowing Brother Dennis, he would be disappointed if he knew that I just took him at his word and didn't bother to study it out. You know, if we're going to follow Jesus, then we have to listen to him about discipleship and let him recreate us in his image. Yeah, Bill.
If we're going to be followers of Christ, some of the things he said is important, some
of them. Okay.
They're all important.
I don't know if you could hear what Bill said or not, but he said that we don't get to pick and choose which parts of what Jesus said that we want to follow. We either take everything that he says or none of it at all. There's no middle ground there. All right, very quickly here. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to learn to listen well. A defining mark of a disciple is to listen to Jesus and follow what he says. In John chapter 10, verses 25 through 27, Jesus says this. He says, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name bear witness about me, but you do not believe because you are not part of my flock. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." All right, Jesus had healed a blind man, and he had faced some pretty heavy scrutiny as a result of that. And he had responded to his critics among the Pharisees, but there were still some of them that they were still puzzled, and they wanted more detail. And so Jesus answers them in this way. Now, Jesus did not say that some people would remain incapable of hearing him. He said, but what he did say was that a person's readiness to listen, believe, and follow him distinguished them from the rest. In other words, some people, there are people who will listen to what Jesus says, they will believe it, and they will follow. And then there are people who won't listen, who won't believe, who won't follow. In other words, a disciple distinguishes himself from the world by how closely he listens to the Messiah in order to follow him. If we're going to be disciples, then we have to listen to the direction and instruction of Jesus. Yeah, Bill. Yeah, I knew you were going to get there. Yep.
This is my beloved son, hear ye him. Hear
him. That's right. Hear ye him. Hear Christ. You know, a lot of division in the religious world, guys, it exists because people listen to what other people say about Jesus instead of listening to what Jesus himself says. Becoming a disciple of a man who talks about Jesus does not make you, in and of itself, a disciple of Jesus. If we're going to be a disciple of Jesus, then all we're concerned about is what Jesus says. You know, we have to be able to understand that difference and listen carefully to what God's Word says. If someone leads you away from Scripture, if you are led away from Scripture, then you're being led away from Jesus. Therefore, it's up to us to listen carefully to what men say and to follow what the Word of God says. So we have to be able to listen. We have to listen, if you will, with discriminating ears. And that can be difficult to do. Because there are people who are very eloquent. But you know, I don't want to dwell on that too much, because the bottom line is what I want you to see is that to be a disciple of Jesus, we have to listen to him and listen only to him. That's what we're called to do. And so, you know, it is, I know the bell just rung, so there was a Greek historian by the name of Xenophon who said this. He said, the true test of a leader is whether his followers will adhere to his cause from their own volition, enduring the most arduous hardships without being forced to do so, and remaining steadfast in the moments of greatest peril. Now, Xenophon was contemplating leadership in a military and in a political setting, but leadership is more than just convincing people to succeed in a battle. It's convincing people to succeed in their lives. I think hopefully we would all agree that Jesus passes this test of leadership. Without any doubt, look at the lives of the apostles, as well as the lives of countless disciples that have followed after them. Jesus has proven himself as a leader. He has invested himself in every soul. He's invested himself in every single one of us. He's calling us to be his disciple. But what have we invested in him? In Jesus, you see someone worthy of our complete allegiance. But have we given it to him? That's really the question that I want to leave with you to be thinking about, studying about, and praying about. Let's bow. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for your word. We know that it is perfect, it is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and that within its pages that we can learn how to be a disciple of Jesus, and in so doing, we can learn how to be closer to you. And Father, that's ultimately our desire, is to grow as close to you as we possibly can, and to find ourselves at that last day being able to hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Father, that's our desire tonight. Pray that you will convict our hearts where needed, to help us make changes that are needed in our lives so that we can be better disciples. Father, help us to see the blessings in doing so. And Father, help us to be an encouragement to one another as we all strive to be disciples of Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.